Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me, as always, it's my co-host in a shirt, RJ Brown.
Help me, I'm drowning! Help me! Help me!
I called you RJ Brown.
What? Didn't even notice.
Didn't even mean to do that. We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and if they could put any movie into VR form, what movie would it be?
Wait.
What movie would you pick? If they could make any movie into a VR and insert you inside it, what would you pick? Incorrect. The answer is Toy Story.
Oh, I was going to say Blank Check. Remember that one?
Disney Channel movie?
I don't remember if it was a Disney Channel. It was about a kid who got a blank check from his grandma, so he says like $1 million, like a jackass, takes all that money and then...
From his grandma, you don't remember the plot. He finds a blank check.
Are you sure?
No.
Also, I want to rewind like just like 1 minute. I said I'm drowning, help me, and you were like, oh wait, I said your wrong name. I was drowning.
Blank check. A young boy inadvertently gains possession of a check for $1 million, which he proceeds to spend, unaware of... Oh, this is some intrigue. Unaware that the gangsters it belongs to are in hot pursuit.
I don't remember that at all.
Dude. This is gotta be a good flick.
It's a whale-spiracy
right there. 94 classic. Starring... No one.
Starring mannequins.
The only person like even recognizable is James Reborn.
Nope.
Yep. He's this guy. He's the guy with the pointy face.
Okay, why are we spending time on this?
Okay, well, here's the other caveat. If Schindler's List was the only movie that you could choose, would you watch it?
No.
Okay.
Would you? Bad person. Go wear a mental patient costume for Halloween or something.
Too soon. Today we're going to be talking about television's red-haired wig stand. That's right. We're talking about Conan O'Brien.
A.K.A. Conando, Conzi, the Conebone, Coco, Coney, the Ginger Ninja, the Cone Zone, Big Red, the Maestro. He's got some great nicknames.
He really does.
And I think a few
of
which...
He's very conducive to nicknames.
A few of which come directly from T. Hanks himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Coco.
Yeah, Coco.
And Conebone.
And Conebone, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe Cone Zone.
Could be.
They're all kind of similar.
Sure. I think you also are conducive to nicknames, but I am not conducive to nicknames.
Oh, yeah. You're like...
People call me Ben or Bean.
I say Burn.
You've never called me Burn.
Okay, I just did it right now.
That's like when I get like, sick burn!
Nice burn! Maybe you're confused. I don't know. Yeah, I do have a lot of nicknames.
You do.
Rage, Ray J, Rage Brigade, Triple Threat Trio.
Rage Brigade?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm stealing that one.
Ray J, for the love of Ray J, for the love.
But before we get into... Conan O'Brien, we need to talk about the news.
Yes.
RJ, help us out.
Some news that you might have missed. Kenan Thompson, SNL super veteran, is creating a sketch show for kids called Scoogle, kind of like Google. But I just love this piece of news because it really does come full circle. He is from like the early beginnings of all that. Like early sketch comedy on Nickelodeon. He did Kenan and Kel. You know, yeah. Other sketch comedy shows. So Thompson will voice an Alexa-like digital assistant for kids in the series, and it'll have a bunch of child actors with sketches satirizing everything from apps to streaming services and social media. And I don't know, it honestly made me feel like really happy to know that this kind of a show is in the hands of such a capable performer and actor and sketch artist.
Yeah,
because I mean that's the kind of thing that I was watching growing up, like the Amanda Show, all that. Those things are what inspired me and seeing kids doing that, right? Mm-hmm. You go, oh, I'm a kid also. I can do that. But if all you ever see is Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. like from that young age, like, oh, I could never do that. I could like bring it, making it so accessible for kids, like helps fill those acting classes early on. And
absolutely.
End up, you know, wasting your life on a podcast.
Poor guy.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Keenan, way to go, Keenan.
Yeah, good for
him. That's so fun.
And actually, he's going to be working with the director or producer of the original All That series. So the guy that like made him is like working.
Going to make him again.
Hand in hand, friends forever.
And the friends of friends forever. Sorry.
Sounds good, man.
Well, is that what we got for news?
Yeah, that's our news. A
little news treat.
A little treat for y'all. So keep your eyes out for Scoogle.
Scoogle, that's funny.
Honestly, I'd probably watch anything that Kenan Thompson is working with because he's an amazing person just as an actor.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
I think there's something to be said with the longevity that he's had on I almost said Conan, on SNL.
Too soon. No, you're right.
He's been on SNL since
1963.
Yeah, no, a long time.
We don't have the numbers to back it up, but we do know it's a lot.
It's in the allots.
Yeah,
more towards
a lot's
allots.
More than sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the news. Now it's time for a little bit of brief history on Conan O'Brien.
Of course.
Can I explain it to you, RJ?
Wouldn't
will you? Will you give me a sec?
Would you?
I will.
Could you?
I will.
In a boat?
It's happening right now. After graduating from Harvard in 1985, Conan O'Brien set his sights on Los Angeles to pursue comedy writing for HBO's Not Necessarily the News, as well as performing improvisational comedy with the Groundlings. A few years later, he was hired as a writer for SNL. By the 90s, Conan was a writer for The Simpsons when he got the nod to produce for the successor of David Letterman's Late Night Show. O'Brien insisted that he perform instead of produce, which eventually brought him tremendous success in the television community and appearances in many forms.
You don't say.
I do.
That's crazy. So he was just going
to
produce
it. So he was going to produce for whoever was going to host after David Letterman. He said, flip the script. I'm hosting. Get some schmuck to produce.
You listen here, see? I'm going to be a star, don't you know?
That's very Conan.
That's exactly what he would say if he was talking about himself in the past tense.
To Lorne Michaels.
Yeah. Yeah, Lorne Michaels is in charge of this, which is perfect. He's been writing with him for SNL,
mm-hmm.
and he's there, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to do this, which is interesting because, I mean, he did Groundlings, which is, like, obviously improvisational, but, like, he wasn't, like, doing stand-up before, you know?
Right.
I think Letterman did stand-up. Leno did stand-up.
Leno, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Letterman did.
Maybe.
Wow, I really need to read
up on
that.
I feel like he was more like radio host. But, you know, that's substantiated by nothing.
we'll get back to you next time. Why is David Letterman funny? We got some homework.
Why is Ben's feelings not actual fact? so here's the question, though. Why is Conan O'Brien funny? That's what we have to answer.
Well,
because
then,
it could be that he's not funny.
Lucky for you, not only every week do we have an answer for that question, but we have a well thought out and adequately assessed thesis as to why Conan O'Brien is funny.
Every week.
Every single week, baby. You better believe it. Yeah.
Nah, you're right.
Conan O'Brien brings an old-fashioned delivery of comedy with a refreshing twist of wit and absurdism. He is the master of delivering the most ridiculous material with such intellectual rhythm and precision. Conan's humility shines through his comedy as he is not afraid to put his body or image on the line for a joke. With the body of Dick Van Dyke, the voice of a 13 Colonies newspaper boy, and the most iconic orange hair of all time, Conan O'Brien has brought professionalism and ridiculousness together in his comedy and is revered as one of the greatest talk show hosts of our time.
He really is like modern legend.
Yeah, and there's a lot of respect for him now, and not necessarily because of all that he's done, but especially all that he's gone through. He was on Late Night from like 99 to 2009,
mm-hmm.
and was gonna go be on The Tonight Show. For those of our listeners who don't know about this, is the craziest drama. I'll try to make it as quick as possible. NBC says, you're gonna be on The Tonight Show filling.
Schno.
You're gonna be Tonight Show taking over for Leno. he goes, and that's all great. Starts the Tonight Show, and then they go, oh, actually, we're going to bump your time slot back to midnight, which would bump Jimmy Fallon's late night show to 1.
Right.
And so Jay Leno's show would be at the Jay Leno show, apparently, was they wanted to have that. Which
well,
is,
yeah, so that's what made it so controversial. It was, they were like, we're getting rid of Jay, and you're going to be the Tonight Show.
Right.
But that's not actually what they did. They just took Jay and gave him his own show at 10 o'clock, just a little bit earlier.
Right. And then they go back on their word and go, actually, so we're going to bump Jay back to his original
slot.
So Jay
was getting more ratings than Conan because he's on before him. More people are awake.
Yeah.
So then they're like, well, maybe we should put Jay back in that slot because then he'll do the numbers that he was doing before.
Right.
Conan's like, no, you're doing everything wrong. You're going to screw Jimmy.
Yeah, he's a
1 a.m. And you're screwing
yeah.
me, too. And the Tonight Show is the Tonight Show. It cannot be anything less than 11 o'clock.
It literally can't be the Tomorrow Show.
Right. Exactly. So that's why Conan took his stance and kind of got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yeah, he left. And, I mean, I think in retrospect now, I've heard a couple interviews of him talking about it, but he got ultimately what I would say is a better deal. He's in charge of all his own stuff now. Whereas before in NBC, NBC owned his jokes, his bits, his material, his yeah. stuff, his content. Mm-hmm. And now on TBS with his own show, Conan, which has been tremendously successful.
Absolutely.
He has control over everything.
Yeah.
And he gets to start new shows now. The Clueless Gamer is spinning mm-hmm. off into its own kind of show series. And he can travel places and spend, you know, time doing other kinds of shows. Yep. And I think, you know, it's difficult to look now and see Fallon on the Tonight Show, because I love Fallon. I think he's doing a great job, and I love the stuff that he does for the most part. But it's hard for me to look at that and be like, ah, I wish that was Conan. You know, that should have been Conan. But
you're
same,
saying you don't wish that.
No, I wish it was
Conan. Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm saying it's hard for me to look at that.
I think I'm with you in that. I don't wish Jimmy didn't have it, and that's not what you're saying. I'm just saying I wish Conan had the history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's what the Tonight Show is. It's
yeah.
just
it's legacy.
Just, it's yeah, it's all legacy. And so Jimmy's doing a great job with it, but Conan, that was his birthright, you know?
Yeah.
He was like slotted to go next.
Well, and he put in the hard work too.
Absolutely.
He was
14
on the,
years.
Yeah, 14 years. And I mean, Fallon, how long was he on late night?
Like a year and a half.
Like, yeah, like a few years. Cuz I mean, he gave late night to Fallon in 2009
mm-hmm.
and then Jay had the Tonight Show again from 2010 to whenever Fallon got mm-hmm. it in 2013 or something. So, I mean, Fallon did a great job with late night, and you know, good for him. Great. Glad the success train is rolling along. But I think a lot of people still have that reverence for Conan that, like,
absolutely,
that he is so respectable the way he carried himself in that, and where he is now as, like, still a popular late night show host. Mm-hmm. And now that Letterman's retired, he's like part of the old guard. Jon Stewart's gone. You know, the only person who like rivals him with television show experience is Stephen Colbert, and I'm pretty sure he's older than Stephen Colbert, but I could totally be off.
No, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so he is kind of this bridging gap of old talk show to like newer hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think huge shout out, just before we even talk about how funny this guy is, he's just a respectable human
yeah,
being.
Mad respect. Cone bone.
Yeah, mad respect. Ben's my respect hype boy. Yeah, just a lot of shout outs for like,
no, I just love that it's like, yeah, we respect this guy so much, and then we call him Cone Bone. Like,
mad respect. Conesy Bone Patrol 2017.
Like, but that's so Conan, right? Like, he yeah. is this professional like host who does a like amazing job at hosting celebrities and putting on the show, yet like you're just allowed to just make fun of him,
right?
Because he's gonna make fun of you, and he's gonna make fun of himself,
right?
There's so much self-awareness to him,
right? The self-awareness 110%. It's like a faux egocentrism. Like, he even presents himself to the audience and to his guests as like, oh yeah, because if I see an intern lying around, I'm gonna yell at them because they right. don't know what they're doing. Like, he's joking.
Or even
about,
like a you know, a young attractive girl comes on the show, he's like, what would you say about a little flock of red hair like myself coming along with this body? And then it's like, that's Like he thinks he's all that, but then he immediately can just flip the script and be like, no, that's ridiculous.
Like I'm a wig stan. It's all a joke about his own self, and that's what I love. Like he's at a point in his comedy where he isn't afraid. He's lost everything, he's gained everything, and he just puts himself out there, which is hilarious. So he's got a vast history of material.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like, I mean, he does. He really does. But it doesn't feel like he's been on a lot of shows. He's been on a lot more shows than you think.
Right, yeah.
Because you think, oh, he did the late night, he did the Tonight Show, and now he's on Conan. What else has he done? Well, he's written for so much.
So many things.
And writers are just
anonymous. Writers are forever, basically. But yeah, I mean, he wrote for Simpsons. He wrote for SNL. He wrote for other various TV shows in the 80s and 90s. I think something that's also interesting is the amount of hours he's logged on the face of television.
Yeah, right.
Right. So not just behind the scenes working on the stuff, it's a 80-hour a week job, but in front of the camera. Like, that's so much of your time spent staring into a little black cube. Like, that's crazy to me.
Into America's hearts, a little black cube.
That's fitting. Disturbing, but fitting.
Can we talk about The Simpsons?
Absolutely.
So he was head writer, am I correct, for The Simpsons from 1991 to 1993.
Greg Daniels, right?
No. What?
No, Greg Daniels isn't on it. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, you are. He wrote with that other show that you talked about, not necessarily the news.
That's right. That's Greg Daniels.
That was him and GD.
Got it.
I call him GD. We're real close.
We're close. A lot of nicknames.
But he personally wrote Marge versus the Monorail.
Ah.
Another one called Monorails New Kid on the Block.
Seriously.
That's him too, isn't it? That was his interview with George Takei.
Yeah, George Takei.
So good. I mean, he's just really like, he's in the modern lexicon. He is Conan. Like, he's got so much stuff out there, just material out there.
Exactly.
So good. But yeah, him on The Simpsons writing, it really gave, like, you think about 1991 and 1993, that's when The Simpsons is finding their voice. They started in 89, so they're only 2 years old when he joins, and he helps them find their voice. Yeah. Marge vs. the Monorail really is an episode that has a lot of defining qualities to that show. Mm. It's mostly Marge-centric, but it brings home The Simpsons back to, this is a show with heart that is hilarious, but also cares. Do you know what I mean? It has, like, these people care about each other, and they come together at the end of the show.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, that's no small feat.
Definitely.
The Simpsons is like, you have that on your resume, and you're friggin' gold.
Yeah, you have that on the resume, you for sure get a spot writing for Saturday Night Live. You'll for sure get a job on Late Night. Like, you know, those writing gigs, I think a lot of people underestimate the writer as far as how it propels them into success. Mm-hmm. Because all it takes is for you to be a writer for 5 years working with big shows like Saturday Night Live and NBC, for you to have the ability to say, no, I want to be on Late Night. No, I want to be head writer for this new show. No, I want to whatever. Like, you have so much more weight in that regard.
Which it is or isn't an easy transition. I feel like sometimes if you're a writer, you're a writer. And that's you don't be a performer because you're a writer. But then sometimes I feel like there's a lot of stories of people who wrote and then became. But I also feel like Conan's a very exception.
You know, I think it's interesting. It's difficult to say you're either one or the other. Mm-hmm. Certainly there is a multitude of actors and writers who do both very well. Mm-hmm. Writing books, writing behind the scenes, writing for their own show, directing their own show, stand up, all the above. Yeah. But, you know, there are some writers who just write.
Yeah.
Their material, like, they go, I wouldn't ever do stand-up. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't ever want to perform. I wouldn't ever want to be an actor. Or if I would be, I'd just be an extra, because that's all I can do. I can't commit to a crazy character or do any physical comedy. So, I don't know. I feel like there are some writers that we've seen over the years who just can do it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Larry David, he had very little appearances in Seinfeld, actually, and now is the star of Curb, right?
Coming back.
Coming all back, baby.
Pretty crazy. So then Conan jumps up onto late night television and kind of solidifies his role in humanity.
Yeah,
as
I
a talk
like,
show host.
I feel like as a talk show host starting out on Late Night, he really did a good job shaking things up.
Yeah.
And that's where we said in our thesis, he took the traditional format of late night talk shows and just kind of had fun with it. Okay, what happens if we, you know, have our guests, you know, dress up in costumes and fight? Or what mm-hmm. happens if we do a ridiculous, like, upfront, you know, joke with a bear who's masturbating?
Or I feel a lot of groundbreaking stuff, too, happened with audience interaction.
Yeah.
Conan interacts with his audience. He'll make fun of you or himself for getting, like, you know, any accolades from you. Be cool, my babies! Like, that whole thing. But also putting, you know, like, people, his writers in the audience to then have an interactive bit.
As plants.
Where they come up and they're like, Conan, you suck! And he's like, oh, audience member, what's up? How can I help you? And then, you know, they have that interaction. Johnny Carson didn't do that.
Yeah, you're so right.
Jay Leno doesn't do that.
No, yeah.
Like, that was not a thing.
And that's such a good break from the tradition. Like, it's still within the tradition. And what's funny is, if that happened in real life, like, it would be like, cut the cameras, like, everybody get out of here.
Right,
like,
yeah.
We're reshooting this. But the way they present it is such like a, oh, well, this is a part of the show.
Yeah, it's over the top,
we
obvious.
We can carry on as if this traditional talk show host was going to do this. And, you know, even on our Amy Poehler episode, we talked about...
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Go in and know you go.
Grape minds think alike.
Alight.
Amy Poehler plays Andy Richter's sister.
Yes, who's obsessed
Who's
with
obsessed
Conan.
With Conan. And she's in the audience. Hi, Conan! And that's just such a perfect cutaway gag is... You know, well, what's our bit this week? Everything's going smoothly on the talk show. And then Andy's sister's in the audience and she's got a crush on Conan.
Yeah.
And she's like obsessed with him. And it's Amy Poehler. She's a crazy character and she has funny jokes and makes fun of everybody. But
Or even like, I don't know. I didn't see a lot of before Conan, like those actors who will come on as characters. And just like especially like Conan's interactions with Will Ferrell always just like over the top ridiculous.
It's like every other time Will Ferrell comes out as a character.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's some of my favorite moments on Late Night is him as Robert Goulet. He's on the whole show as Robert Goulet.
An SNL like joke.
Yeah.
is on his show. But here's the thing. That takes a certain type of person to interact with.
Yeah.
Like, Conan has to be sharp, witty, and all these things. You can't just, like, put a Joe Schmo up there and have him interact with somebody who's in character because it would fall apart. It would be like, what is...
Oh, cool. Hi, Robert. Huh? Yeah. But, like, Conan knows exactly how to play off that energy. I think his work at the Groundlings really helps him solidify that kind of interaction and the saying yes to whatever's happening in that moment, especially with his guest interactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can just go somewhere that you wouldn't think this interview is going. And now him and Andy are riffing back and forth about, you know, God knows what leg size, average leg size for a human, something stupid.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
I've never felt more like connected to a host because of kind of the breaking of the fourth wall. Conan, a lot of times will break and laugh and be like, oh my gosh, this is the stupidest thing that we're doing currently.
Yes.
We wrote this and we put effort into this. This is stupid.
Which I mean,
where you as the audience are, you're like, oh my gosh, like this is good.
Does he know?
Yeah.
Like, does he know?
This is like kind of like behind the scenes a little bit. But he's like, he brings you into that and makes you feel like you're a part of the show. We've been on Conan.
We have been multiple times.
No other talk show hosts, like, I care enough to go about, but we went and we were there, like, sitting in the audience.
There is no other podcast on this planet that cares enough about Conan! No, I'm just kidding.
But like, I don't know, there's just some connection that you feel with him. We went in jeggings because there was, like, that season where
That's
he was, like,
right.
in jeggings. Because you have this connection with Conan. Like, Conan... We're together in this.
Well, and that was right when he started the Conan show on TBS. If you remember, there was this huge movement of
That was the Tonight Show.
No. Yeah. Jay Kings. No. Think about it. It was 2010.
Well, okay, wait. I saw him on the Tonight Show. So then you maybe we also show. Saw him.
We saw him. Coco was
Oh, right,
Jagan.
Because it's TBS. I do remember that was
yeah,
a different
lot. Yeah, it was TBS.
Lot.
But around that time, there was this huge movement of I'm with Coco
mm-hmm.
and the presidential poster of him,
yeah.
which I'm pretty sure Mike Mitchell, one of my favorite like digital artists, created. He does the you know the Star Wars prints that I have,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Boba Fett and Darth Vader.
He made that?
He made that Conan wow. poster. So... That,
shout out to Mike Mitchell
yeah.
if you could
shout
make
to Mike
like,
Mitchell,
a picture of us.
Yeah, make a picture of my crazy face. Anyways.
Can we at him or something?
I'll yeah.
Please at him.
Don't at me.
No.
At him.
Yeah, at him.
So anyways, there was like that whole movement, like this kind of like everyone here like loves Conan. Like
right.
we support you, Conan. You're awesome. So like that really plays into that for surezies. But yeah, just his ability to relate to that audience and break away the layers of talking down to the audience, which is a lot of what traditional television has done. I mean, we talked about that with our Jerry Seinfeld episode. When you talk above the audience, like, you know, there is comedy there, but once you come down to their level and say like, oh, like I'm here with
yeah.
you, like
connectability,
you know that this is a show. I know this is a show. This is all fake and lights mm-hmm. and it's hot and whatever. Like, I'm going to make a comment about that. Like, I love that. That's just so genuine.
So good.
Comedy is genuinity, levity and depravity.
All the things.
More rhymes that I can't think of right now. So let's talk about some of his famous
bits.
Let's
get into the bits. You got In the Year 3000.
Very classic late night.
Is that
bit.
Late night? Yeah.
Yeah, late night. Him and Jim Carrey, right?
Well, it would be him and anyone.
Oh, that's right.
Any guest. It could yeah, he would bring on multiple people and then it's as if we've transported to the year 3000 and then he's doing popular news bits in the future. So good.
And it's so dumb.
And it always had I love his connection with his band. He would always it was him and in late night it was Max Weinberg, but him and La Bamba. La Bamba was like the trombone player.
Yeah.
Like weird short little like chubby dude with a mustache and a fedora
and he
would do like he could sing really high so he'd get like the little mic and a little light to like light up his the bottom of his face in the year 3000
and
then
so funny.
And then all of a sudden they would do their bit but then it would cut back to these like swelling shots of La Bamba.
So funny.
So weird.
And they'd say things like in the year 3000 people will take their phones and have them directly inserted into their butts. Like some
yeah.
stupid thing.
Oh man, there was one that my family like totally remembered that we like stuck with forever. It was like in the year 3000, the band U2 is still around. Bono got mono in Dono or something. It was like all these ones that rhyme. The Edge went to the Wedge and surfed with Veg or something, and then it was Adam Clayton went to Dayton, Ohio, and found a matin, and then it was and Larry Mullen rhymes with nothing. It was so good. Oh my gosh,
that's perfect. And then of course the crowd favorite, the masturbating bear, which essentially is
late
just
night.
A bit yeah that's is that yeah that's late night
yeah
which essentially is just a bit where in the middle of a joke, this bear... Well, it was a viral video of a bear that was masturbating. And then
it became a character on the show.
And then it became a character on the show that was a man in a bear costume with, like, a weird, like, security diaper
yeah.
for her to protect him. And it would just come out and just the... I think... What's the music? The Charlie... Benny Hinn music?
Yeah.
Yeah. He started doing his thing.
Ragtime weird.
And Conan would just like hang his head. And, like,
yeah.
Embarrassing. Like,
absolutely.
Get out of here.
So good.
And that's... I think he's also the comic insult dog. What's his face?
Came from Late Night? Yeah. It would
yeah.
be one of his like correspondents that he would send out. Now it's its own thing.
Yeah.
But
because
back in the day...
NBC has the rights. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is nuts. But yeah, back in the day, it was just like, this is our reporter. It's a dog, and he makes fun of people.
Comic the Insult Dog?
Yeah, Comic the Insult Dog.
Yeah. There we go.
So
Comic?
Good.
Triumph! Triumph! Oh.
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
There we go. I was like, it's not Comic the Insult Comic Dog.
That makes a lot more sense. Triumph.
One of your personal favorite bits, old timey baseball.
Oh my gosh, I love. So the last episode of Late Night, he gives this little speech. This is the best thing I've ever done. This is what I think about when I think of comedy. When it's my funeral, just play this. And I'm like, Conan, I really hope that happens. And it's just this bit called Old Timey Baseball, where he goes and interviews these people who play old timey baseball, and it is so funny
because it's like 1860 something,
right? And these people are in character, but they also know, like, this is a weird thing that we do. And so Conan is just like relentless. He's just making fun of them. But then he finds this one girl who, like, she's committed and she doesn't break, and she breaks him. Oh, it's so funny. It's like he's interviewing all these girls and he's like, well, tell me, if you saw me, 6'4", shock of red hair, you wouldn't be intrigued? And then he, like, gives the mic to someone and they're like, oh, I would be. He's like, and you? Oh, you're the tallest man I've ever seen. And you? I definitely would be interested. And finally, you. And he gives her the mic and she goes, I'm married. And, like, everything he says, like, she just has this little comeback that's just the opposite. He's like, oh, you're married. Where's your husband? He's off at war. And he goes, well, let's hope that dude gets blowed up real quick. So, so funny. And he just, like, he's so relentless with them.
And something that I like about that bit that he does in a lot of things is contrast. The contrast of the absurd with the modern. The being too serious with the not taking yourself too seriously at all. I mean, even in the one of my favorite bits he does on Conan, he hasn't done in a while, is the Ted Turner bit, which is Will Forte on a buffalo who comes out and yells at Conan. Basically, that's the whole bit. Yeah. He yells at the audience and yells back at Conan again. And Conan is always like, in this bit basically revolves around the idea that, like, they're just having the talk show and then in comes a fake buffalo. They know it's a fake buffalo, but fake Ted Turner, which is Will Forte, is yelling at them now. And it's always like this is ridiculous exchange, and Conan plays it off like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And he's like, shut it, Tilda.
Yeah, he always has the best insults to Conan.
My favorite is when he'll and I could watch this bit every day and probably laugh, but Will Forte, just as this character is so good, turning to the audience like, and you asshats, go and Snapchat a dick pic from hell with Molly Cyrus.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. That Ted Turner bit is just like, is gold.
There are many insults.
Props to Will Forte.
Just because of those Will Forte insults.
Yeah, I think that's where Wigstan came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wigstan.
You Wigstan. my favorite insult is when he says, he's like, man, he's talking about Jane. He's talking about Jane Fonda. He's like, oh, Jane Fonda, back in the day, you could bounce a quarter off that woman's ass. Unlike now, it would sink like a penny in lava.
Oh my gosh.
And Conan's like, what? What? Stop! Stop talking
why are you
about
saying
this?
That? Oh my gosh.
So, just another like absurdity with reality kind of thing here. Another one of my favorite bits that he does, it's actually going to be a TV show, we've already talked about this, is The
Clueless Gamer.
Which is so Conan, it should just be called Clueless Conan.
Yeah.
Conan, honestly. It's one of his producers or writers is like a video game nerd and says, Conan, check out this video game, Super Smash Brothers. And Conan, who is like for the first time ever picking up a video game controller, and he's like, oh, well, look at this little button over here. Yeah. Oh, there's buttons underneath. He's like, yeah, don't touch those. And he'll like walk him through a tutorial of how to play whatever game.
It's every time you've had your dad be like, hey, son, can I join you playing video games?
What's a pod race?
Okay, dad, like, you're not going to get it, but okay. And it's a dad playing video games.
It totally is. But Conan is like next level dad humor.
Right, and he's just making fun of everything. Yeah. Himself, the person, the game, the maker of the game, the audience, everything.
He's a plumber. He doesn't have any plungers at all. How am I supposed to believe that? There's no indication that he'll be a plumber. They don't even wear overalls anymore. Like, he's always got these.
I don't trust any plumber that goes into the pipes. So funny.
And yeah, every time there's like a girl character, he's like, oh, yeah, choose her, definitely. Oh, she's got two knives, like stuff like that.
So good.
And a part of like the absurdity that he has, another great bit, the Gravy Boat Lighthouse, if you remember that. There's stuff like
I think that was a bit on The Tonight Show.
Really?
I think that was a quick bit on The Tonight Show.
Yeah,
very short-lived.
Yeah, I really have no recollection.
So funny, though.
I just remember that this is the bit that I wanted to talk about because it has so much to do with the types of things that he'll talk, mm-hmm. like show, where it's an advertisement or it's a some kind of video displaying something just ridiculously unnecessary. Yeah. It's a gravy boat lighthouse. Are you sick and tired of trying to move the gravy boat, but you have nowhere to go?
I don't know where I'm going.
Look no further. Available for $29.99.
That joke has stuck with us forever. $29.99. So good. Another like holiday classic that he has is Minty the candy cane that briefly fell on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Who just like keeps falling down on the ground. So it's like he does a couple different entrances, and by like the end of the week, he's just like completely covered in crap.
This is the same reason I love old timey baseball, is the classic and the modern. Conan making fun of both. Old timey baseball, Conan, like, he kind of looks like he could fit into that era.
Yeah.
Right? Like when he puts on the costume and he's like, like he looks like, oh, you could totally fit into that, but he's not. He's Conan. He's making fun of everything.
Exactly.
And same thing with Minty. It's this candy cane. It's just stupid. It's a stupid concept, stupid idea. But they give him this old timey theme song.
Yeah.
Oh, when the holidays come around. And it's like that 1920s
jingle
voice sound. You can hear the sound of Minty, the candy cane who briefly fell on the ground.
Yeah.
It's so dumb, but for some reason, it's so funny to me.
Yeah, and you're right.
For just a moment or two.
And something here that I really like is his affinity for music.
Yeah.
He is such a musical comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, he plays the guitar.
He knows that that's like a weapon in his comedic arsenal, you know?
Right, right. And he utilizes that in so many avenues, whether that's the band he chooses, mm-hmm. or the song that he is a part of or singing. I think it's, you know, his musical bits are really, really
so good.
Classic.
So good.
Oh, yeah. I have honorable mention bit. Did you happen to see his, I think it's 1993 Emmys host performance monologue? It's like, there's nothing really worth to go look up, but it's really funny because it's such a good Conan bit. He's like, yeah, so I was talking to the Emmy producers and they said, you know, to really bump up the ratings, it would be in my best interest to develop a love interest right here on the Emmys. And he's like, but I mean, I told him that's crazy. There's just no way that I could fall in love just right here. And the camera cuts to Jennifer, or actually it cuts in and it's like, I can't remember the song. It's like, turn around, every now and then I get a little bit older. And it cuts to Jennifer Aniston, and they're like looking at each other like really like intensely, like, oh. And so then good. Finally, like, it's like Conan like looks away and then notices Gary Shandling. And then they both like fall in love together, and it shows like this video of them riding on a horse like in white clothes.
So ridiculous.
It is so perfect.
That's so Conan, though. Like, oh, the producers said I should do this, but that's never gonna happen. And then of course it just happens exactly ridiculously.
Exactly.
Like that.
And that's where some of his jokes really land.
Yeah.
Is the false premise.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you're gonna get me to put on some jeggings and do hopscotch here on this show.
Doing it.
All right, I'll do it. Like, exactly.
And then
that.
Cut to him doing exactly what he said he wouldn't do.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
Conan is modern legend, and I don't know. I hope that our podcast is honoring to his legend because he is so good.
Yeah, and out of his work, we've seen some really great comedians on the rise. Pete Holmes, mm-hmm. is like a mentee of his, as well as
we saw him.
Billy Eichner.
on the episode that we went to. Remember? He was the king.
We saw Pete Holmes perform his first time on Conan when we were there. And he did some really good bits.
He was like, I'm like a fun dad. I got the fun dad vibe. Like, feed off the ottoman. Who wants chips and dip?
If you like it, then you should have put some cheese on it. Hey, patty melts, everybody.
No, but seriously, could you get your feet off the ottoman?
Yeah.
You didn't know.
And, so he supported people like Pete Holmes, Billy Eichner.
Yeah.
He's gotten Billy off the street and then on the street again. and Rory Scovel, we talked about him not too long ago, his stand-up special. Very returning player for a lot of stand-up stuff is Rory on Conan, and he kills it. Yep. I feel bad if it's not Rory, but I'm going to give him credit anyways. He does the bit on Conan where he's like doing stand-up, and then someone in the audience is like, boo, you suck. And he's like, what, you think you could come up here and do what I do? You just sit in the audience and don't do anything. And the guy's like, yeah, what stand-up? It's so easy. I go up there, and they switch places, and he's like, so the other day I was going outside, and I was like, oh, that's a weird thing. And he's like actually doing a good joke, and Rory's like, boo, you suck. Go home. I hate you. And Conan's like, what are you guys doing? Like, knock it off. Like, oh, you think what you're doing is so
that's
easy?
Awesome.
And then they all switch spots, and...
That's ridiculous.
If I find the link, I'll put it in the description, but that's worth the watch of all the things.
That's so funny.
Anyways, Ben.
Mad respect for the Conus bonus.
The Bonesy of Conesy himself. We have just wrung out all of his best material here. And I think
when that happens,
it only can mean one thing
what
for
can it
our
mean,
viewers'
RJ?
Ears, and that is blood.
That's right. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts, the part where I say some wacky facts, and then RJ, using the Wacky Tomatoes rating system, gives them an accurate rating of percentage too fresh, too wacky.
You couldn't have said it clearer.
Couldn't have. Here's wacky fact number one. Conan O'Brien is fifth cousins with Dennis Leary.
Huh.
Huh, indeed.
You know, maybe
they're both
that...
from Boston.
I'm not so surprised, but it is pretty wacky. The critics rated it lower on a 78%.
Oh.
I'm surprised at that.
That is interesting.
But I think I know why, because this is off the coattails of a pretty juicy Hollywood story.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
Larry David just found out that he's second cousins with Bernie Sanders.
Second or third?
Second.
Second or third?
Second.
Is it second or third?
I'm going to say it again. It's second. And I'll look it up while I'm telling you.
I'm looking it up while you're telling me.
It's on my Twitter feed. But that's the craziest thing ever.
Third cousin.
Damn it. Well, good for you.
Yep,
you were
good
right
for me.
For once.
70%?
But still, that's crazy to me. Like, fifth cousins, Dennis Leary. Yeah, we're all fifth cousins of Dennis Leary, I'm sure, okay? But you know what?
Here's wacky fact about Ben Harris. I'm fifth cousins with Johnny Depp. That's a true thing. It's true. Everyone shut up. It's true.
Is that why you're such a douchebag?
Could be.
Is that why you have an Ed Hardy shirt on right now? No, just kidding.
Here's wacky fact number two.
You're like the opposite of that.
Conan O'Brien was the Harvard Lampoon editor for 2 years in a row, and he's only the second person ever to have done this, and it had been 85 years since it had been done.
What?
Pretty crazy.
I'm pretty confused at that.
No.
So he was a writer and no one else did it before?
Yeah, yeah. Editor of the Harvard Lampoon. Mm-hmm. That's like a really prestigious thing. Mm-hmm. He did it for 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
No one does that. Everyone gets it for 1 year.
They're like
so he did it for 2 years in a row, and he's only the second person to have done this, but it had been 85 years since it had been done.
Oh, damn.
And it's never been done since.
That's a pretty big accolade. I think just as is, we kind of nudged it in there at the beginning of the show. He went to Harvard, people.
Yeah.
He graduated magna cum laude.
Yeah, with like American history and literature.
Boring.
Conan. I know, yeah, pretty crazy.
That's awesome. And really great for him. And, you know, the critics show, that's got an 87% wacky there. That's
87.
No, yeah, 87. That's what I said.
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah.
Mini stroke for RJ.
Glitch in the Matrix.
All right, here we go. Here's wacky fact number three. It's a doozy.
Mm.
When Burt Ward was asked to give a speech at Harvard about his role in Batman, the 1966 TV show, he brought the original costume. It was said to be valued at $500,000. Some students came up to him dressed as security guards and told him they would keep the costume safe. In the middle of the speech, one student stood up and asked, "When is a costume not a costume?" The answer, when it's stolen. The lights dimmed and the students grabbed the costume and ran off. After snapping pictures with one another in the cape, later they called Ward and gave back the costume. The ringleader of the group, Conan O'Brien.
Wow.
Isn't that ridiculous?
So Burt Ward basically was on the Conan show.
Yeah, right? No, he just got pranked.
Yeah.
So hard.
That's like such a Conan bit, right? When is a costume not a costume?
What the hell are you talking?
Oh, it's stolen. Oh my God.
When it's stolen. Like that's so like 1966 Batman.
Yeah. That's a 1966 Riddler joke.
Yeah.
Which, oh my gosh, worlds collide. Conan voices the Riddler on the Lego Batman movie.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
He is an old-timey Lego Batman villain.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Wow. That's so perfect.
Stars collide, and that, you know, that would explain the 98% wacky on these wacky ratings.
Holy cow.
Thank you, critics. Lots of exclamation points.
That was a good one, huh?
Yeah. That was crazy.
Pretty crazy. Well, since that's all the wacky facts that I have, it's time for hashtag Whale Mail of the Week. RJ, read that mail.
Dear Whale Pod, who is your favorite current SNL cast member? Greg Splattery. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to make fun of that guy's
short
name.
And sweet.
Obviously, it's a name that you can have.
Yeah, it's a family name.
Yeah, probably many generations of Splatteries.
I'm sure the Splatteries are great people.
Yeah, no complaints.
Living in like a, you know, big old house in southern Louisiana.
Ben, who's your favorite current SNL cast member?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say toss-up between Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
She just knocks it out of the park for me.
Yeah.
And Kyle Mooney.
Yeah.
Kyle Mooney is so funny.
And he's so...
Honorable mention, Beck.
Beck, yeah.
Beck Bennett.
Beck,
so good.
Beck does everything.
I know, right?
He does everything so well, although I don't think he always gets the funniest parts.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, Kate McKinnon is given, like, the juicy,
the
main
goofiest,
role, goofy, crazy,
yeah,
funny, memorable.
Most outlandish person in the sketch.
Kyle Mooney gets, like, the off
He's
ball.
He's so subtle with, like, yeah, the weirdo.
I love his Bruce Chandling comedian bit that they keep doing. That is gold.
I love the one that's, like, I don't even know what it is. It's just like a video of him like running for class president, but he's just like, he's this like kind of metal kid. And it's just this rink-a-dink video of him like jumping off of like a fence and like, yeah, hey, I'm cool. I listen to Black Sabbath and I am cool. It's just so weird. It's so funny.
Oh yeah. One of his like weird characters.
Yeah.
This like angsty teen.
Yeah.
That's good. I would say, honestly, current cast member, since he got nominated for an Emmy, I'm going to go with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, no, good call.
I mean, he's...
Current recurring cast member.
He's a recurring cast member, yeah. And dang it. I mean, the guy is a seasoned vet. He was never actually on SNL, but he already has a Best Of DVD.
Pretty crazy.
Like, there's a vast majority of cast members who don't have a Best Of DVD.
Yeah.
And he has one, and he's been in less SNL episodes than most cast members.
Pretty crazy. I think, isn't he, Steve Martin, and Tom Hanks, like, up there for most times host?
Oh, Alec Baldwin has skyrocketed in hostings. I'm pretty sure he's the number one by, like, five.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we talked about this.
I thought it was Steve Martin.
You know what? We'll come back to that next time. How about that?
Well, should I just look it up?
No, it's not worth our time here.
Sounds good.
We got to respect the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look it up. That's good. No, Alec Baldwin by a landslide. It used to be close. It used to be really close.
Okay.
Now it's not as close. Just trust me. I'm a comedy doctor. I'm sorry. Comedy guru. We can't legally say doctor on the air. Our lawyers will be like,
Well, thank you, Greg. That's an excellent little email.
Yeah. Thank you so much. you know, anyone else who wants to know other things, maybe our favorite SNL members who weren't on SNL this last season or are not currently on the cast, I'd tell you that too.
Or would you now?
Maybe not. I don't know.
All right, RJ, if somebody's looking for us, where are they going to find us?
Well, you can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. Also, check out our Patreon website. The link is in our description. It's also on our Facebook or Twitter pages. But go to our Patreon site. You can have access to so much more content, our warm-ups, pre-released episodes, episodes that we decided not to air because of too graphic. other kind of little like monthly things that you can get sent to you. Anyways,
all for next to free.
Yeah, cheap as free.
Come on, guys.
That's my slogan. Cheap as free, right there. Also, we're part of the Pod Tyrant Network. Go to podtyrant.com or geektyrant.com to hear awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture. A lot of great podcasts that you can always check out there. And yeah, be sure to check out our Twitter page. Like I said, it's at WhalePod. Our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? We got lots of great gifts sending to you every week.
Absolutely.
And don't forget, email us, whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com.
If you'd like to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, at him, at Rodolfo the Brown.
And you can find Ben on Twitter, at won't help you if you're drowning. It's true.
I'd like to thank Wolfpack for our outro music and bensound.com for our intro music. And thank you, the fans, for giving us a listen every week. You guys are the best people we know.
You're the only people I know.
RJ lives in
the basement. I don't have interaction with the outside world beyond this podcast. Thank you so much to all of our listeners. You guys are awesome.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the iTunes ratings. Thanks for the likes and follows. You guys are the real heroes.
We're going to leave you with what we always leave you with, and that is comedy is all about... Minty fell on the ground for just a moment or two.